You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
$40,000
on shoes?
What's the matter, Morty?
Girl,
this thing.
Can't you buy our whole dress?
Girl, this thing.
Great gowns.
Girl,
beautiful gowns.
Girl, fashion has changed.
Girl,
no, it hasn't.
Hello, I'm Lauren Garoni.
And I'm Chelsea Fairless. And we are back to discuss Night of a Thousand Carrie Bradshaws, the event of the season. AKA the 2024 Met Gala.
Chell, how are you doing? Because frankly, I'm exhausted and I feel embarrassed to say that I'm exhausted.
Yeah, well, we did stay up pretty late last night. But on top of that, yes, I feel physically ill from looking at so many photos. Like this used to happen to me when I worked as a photo researcher. And anyone who has spent too much time on Instagram in a single day knows that feeling. It's like a combination of like how you feel when you're sleep deprived and like low grade anxiety.
I feel like for people that operate in our Venn diagram, which is people that care a lot about fashion and also live in Los Angeles, in this particular week are exhausted because right now is something called the Netflix is a joke festival.
Yeah, we're being terrorized by the Netflix is a joke festival.
LA fuckettes, if you wonder why we don't do a live show for our Met Gala episode, it's because we cannot find a venue in Los Angeles because Netflix has rented every venue.
No, literally, whether it's like a 50-person theater or the Staples Center, like, it's booked.
And now, this year, on top of it, they're like, we not only have 7 events going on in 15 locations every night for 10 days, we also have live events and roasts on Netflix. Chelsea, do you know that John Mulaney currently has a Los Angeles-based live talk show for 6 days only?
I did not know that. But maybe the only solution is to join them, Lauren. Like, maybe... maybe we have to find a way to be part of the Netflix is a joke festival.
Yes, Netflix, hire us to talk about the Met Gala. Let's combine those two spheres, fashion and comedy. Who else is it going to be? Chelsea Handler? I think not.
Wait, aren't you about to see Chelsea Handler?
That's right, baby. Saturday night. You are conveniently out of town.
Oh, no.
Where do you want to begin, Chell?
Well, let's revisit the theme.
The theme of the exhibition or the theme of the red carpet?
The theme of the exhibition.
Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion.
Yes, which is about fashion that is quite literally old and falling apart, or, you know, made out of fragile, unconventional materials.
Which the exhibition features 220 garments taken from the Costume Institute's collection.
Many of which are displayed lying down in coffin-like boxes, very sinister. We also saw that in the Catholic Imagination Show. And then the theme for the red carpet is, what was it? Garden of Time.
That's right, based on the J.G. Ballard short story. I thought it was pretty telling that Anna Wintour probably had a sense that the red carpet was going to be a muddled mess, because that morning on the Today Show, she said while she was being interviewed, you know, this exhibition broke my cardinal rule. When we came up with the title Sleeping Beauties, it's wonderful and poetic and romantic, but actually, it could be many, many things. I said, what are we going to say to people to wear to this night? And he said, I assume the he is Andrew Bolton, well, what about Garden of Time? So I fear that we've unleashed a lot of confusion out there, and for which I deeply apologize. Okay, here's the thing. It wasn't. It was pretty much one thing on the red carpet, and it was florals for spring groundbreaking.
But I like that there's different ways to interpret the theme. So it could either be about the garden. It could be about the concept of time. That could translate into deconstruction or like some shit with clocks or something. Then there's also the Sleeping Beauty aspect. The fairy tale, perhaps, or like literal pajamas. I like that there's many ways that you can go with this, but yes, there wasn't a lot of diversity in the read of the theme.
Here's my overall take, and I feel like every year that we've done this episode, this is my take, which is I think they need to stop instituting a red carpet theme.
And I disagree with this take every single year, but continue.
Okay, but the red carpet theme just used to be dressing the best you've ever looked. And now it involves literature that needs to be interpreted, often incorrectly, or those invited don't do the reading and then force us to listen to a bonkers story of how the thing they wanted to wear actually is on theme. A la Rosalia this year.
I don't think just because people look like shit means that we need to abandon the theme entirely. It's the same thing around award shows. Maybe we don't need hosts. No, like you just need a good host. It's not about getting rid of the host.
I'm not saying get rid of the exhibition theme. It's like, why do we need a theme on top of a theme?
I do not mind the theme on top of a theme. I think that any time there's an opportunity for theme dressing, it's a good thing, especially theme dressing on this level. We only really like get that at the Oscars, but the theme at the Oscars is the same every year, which is old Hollywood glamour.
That is true.
My broadest criticism of this event is that many of these looks are giving a regional production of A Midsummer's Night Dream. And as someone who has frequented the Stratford Festival and whatever that Shakespeare festival in Oregon is, I know this to be true.
I guess this is also my point, is that if adhering to this red carpet theme, I just think it is bad for celebrity culture. It's bad for red carpet fashion. It's doing more harm than it is good.
See, I disagree because I think it turns the fashion into more entertainment, which is, I think, what people are looking for. And there's always people that don't dress on theme. Look at the Chloe crew that rocked up. Do you think they give a fuck about this Garden of Time stuff? Absolutely not.
Did they absolutely pretend like the things that were straight off of the runway somehow worked with the theme? Yes, they did.
Okay, let's move on. We have so much shit to talk about. Like, when we're saying it was homogenous, what does that mean? Beyond just like the florals, and I think more specifically, these 3D flower appliques that were on just everything, in my estimation.
That's right. Most people heard garden and they said, no more. Don't need to hear the other two words. I got it. By garden, you mean florals? And it's like, well, kind of, I guess.
We also got a lot of like insect jewelry, butterflies, things of that nature. One thing that I also think is fascinating that we got none of this year is political fashions, because there's usually always someone, right? Whether it's like AOC in the Eat the Rich dress, or it's Vivian Westwood carrying around a photo of Chelsea Manning, or it's like Cara Delevingne threatening to peg the patriarchy. Like, someone is always coming through. Not one person this year went that route.
Almost to a point where it felt just the cognitive dissonance to what's going on in the world.
But that was kind of amazing because there actually were like large pro-Palestine protests around the area, which is very in keeping with the theme, if you think about it.
The mob was at the gates of the Gilded Castle. And, you know, in recent years, there has been an increasing conversation about the place of the Met Gala, especially juxtaposed against cost of living crisis, atrocities we are witnessing on our phones happening simultaneously to this event. And I find it valid and not valid. I mean, the event and its fundraising apparatus. By the way, there is a reason why the Met Gala exists. It is actually a fundraising event and is basically the biggest fundraising event in museum history. Most museums are lucky to raise a few million dollars in an evening. This is an event that raises tens of millions of dollars, even though this party's budget is in the millions. And so in that way, I think it's a worthwhile endeavor. However, the growing outsized nature of the gala itself and its level of excess, like, I do think it needs to be reeled back just a little bit.
No, it's definitely like strong late stage capitalism vibes overall. But I agree, as someone that cares about fashion history, cares about the preservation and the exhibition of historically significant clothes. I want the Met to have funding. Also, the Costume Institute employs a lot of people that have highly specialized and often thankless jobs, and I would like them to continue to have those jobs.
Absolutely. But, you know, selfishly, as someone who consumes this and has consumed this event for, you know, 20 plus years, the access we now have as a viewer to this event has become overwhelming. Chelsea, I am drowning in content. I didn't even do the bare minimum for this podcast. I spent all day reading articles, watching stuff, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface because there's the E-Live feed, the Vogue live feed, TikTok's live feed. Then there's all the behind-the-scenes videos from Vogue that are almost instantaneously uploaded, and the New York Times individual stories about almost everyone who attended. It is excessive.
No, it's a lot. Like, you used to only see this shit in Vogue and W magazine, like a month after it happened.
There is a balance, and I feel like the balance has tipped for this event.
It is a lot. But anyway, shall we start to talk about some of the actual clothes, if we can?
I don't know. I don't think we can, actually.
We got to start with the overall Galliano domination of this event, which I think is a very positive thing, personally.
It almost felt like maybe it was a retrospective about the man Galliano himself.
I think we briefly touched upon this in a VIP episode when the theme was first announced, because we had heard gossip from several reliable sources that has now been affirmed by The Cut that this year's exhibition was supposed to be about Galliano, but the board at the Met rejected it because he's too problematic. So they kind of just had to throw this show together. We also heard that apparently the Karl Lagerfeld show from last year was like their way of testing out, like, will there be public backlash if we devote an entire exhibit to a very problematic person? But people are very selective about canceling people. So no one really cared about the Karl Lagerfeld show.
Yeah, no, people definitely called out that Karl Lagerfeld was fatphobic, but that didn't seem to get up to, like, the Andrew Bolton and, like, board of directors of the Costume Institute, exactly.
No. I'm sure it'll happen at some point. When Galliano did that very well-received couture collection, part of me thought, like, is this his fuck you in a way?
I also wonder if Andrew Bolton knew that that Galliano Margiela collection was coming, because it all fits so well together.
No, I know, like, as a narrative arc. I don't know, I think on some level he's just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do me or whatever. The timing would have been perfect for a show devoted to Galliano, but that didn't happen. We have this show, but all the big looks seem to be Galliano.
And I don't see that much backlash. I feel like I saw far more backlash to Lagerfeld after the Met Gala than Galliano.
Yeah.
At least now. Maybe people are still feasting on Zendaya's double red carpet look.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about that first. Zendaya, I don't think that we can deny that she was the star of the night, got the most attention, pulled the most focus.
Which makes sense. She was one of the chairs on the board of this exhibition.
So the first look is Margiela, but it's referencing a Dior look from 1999. I actually didn't love this one. I wanted to, but, like, I don't know. I don't know. It wasn't an exact replica of the original gown. And I don't know if the fabric choices served it, but I also didn't love the glam, although the glam was faithful to the original fashion show, which was cool. But again, it was giving, like, Midsummer Night's Dream to me.
Frankly, I was shocked to learn it was Margiela. I saw a photo first and I went, no, no, no.
Well, it's truly unlike anything they've ever made.
Some of the captions are like, Margiela inspired by Dior, which is basically like Galliano designed something that is inspired by a previous design he did.
And honestly, he might as well, because Dior isn't doing that shit. Although I think they are re-releasing the newsprint saddlebag. But anyway, digression. The second Zendaya look I loved.
The red carpet had closed, you imagine, and she came back out in a second look. So this was Givenchy Couture by Galliano, spring summer 96. and a Philip Tracy for McQueen headpiece.
I actually think this is cool that La Roche like mixed brands, which you normally never would get in one of these very like over the top archival looks, but I thought it was fabulous, although I do hate the precedent that it sets. Also, she came back up from the street, so it's like she must have snuck out the back, gone changed, and gone through and done it again. I'm just scared like where we could be in 10 years.
10 years, Chelsea, next year. When I talk about the excessiveness of the Met Gala that I feel like needs to be scaled back, it's the only some people dressed on exhibition theme. Then after Rihanna in the China through the looking glass, everyone had to dress on theme. And you are right, Chelsea. I am now worried. It's like Gaga with Camp. Her red carpet progression was taking off outfits. We started to get there, giving celebrities the idea of like, ooh, you could have multiple photo ops. This is fully, you know, Kim next year is like, oh shit, I can dress in two outfits? Why didn't I think of this? This is absolutely going to start happening, and I hate it. I'm pre-hating next year's
I pre-hate it too, but like, at what point does it turn into like a Marina Abramovic like endurance like performance piece where it's like Zendaya just like does 10 outfits and just like never stops, you know? It's kind of like the red shoes or something of fashion.
Well, when you describe it like that, I'm into that.
Not the worst idea.
Commit to a look. This was the better look, frankly. Although I do like the performance that she put into each look. Like,
yes.
Her body language in the first Margiela outfit was very akin to the way that Galliano models are.
I appreciate that because it's not just about putting on a gown. It's an attitude. It's the whole look. It's the glam. That leads me to Kim Kardashian, also in Margiela, referencing, again, another Dior couture piece from 1997.
The amount that Galliano's Margiela was featured, not just that, but the amount that he referenced his past work at Dior, you are right, really does feel like a fuck you, like, I'm gonna get my retrospective one way or another.
Yes, but also, everyone does that, and who's better at doing that than Galliano himself?
Right.
What we're not talking about is, in addition to all the looks that he actually designed, so many of the attendees, whether it's Dua Lipa and Marc Jacobs or Tiana Taylor and whatever the fuck that was, like, it's very like Galliano inspired clothes from a lot of other designers. My gripe with this look is the glam, because with Galliano, I think the vibe is always kind of like, I'm a twisted whore from hell. And like the beachy blonde hair and the makeup that looks like it could be a skin campaign isn't really giving that, you know? I feel like you should commit to the whole look and do the crazy Pat McGrath makeup and just look insane.
Maybe give Mario a night off.
Yeah, like Gwendolyn Christie did. Gwendolyn Christie did the hair and the posturing, which I appreciate.
Well, you have to. I mean, she was in the runway show. Here's the thing. We knew as soon as Kim showed up to that Margiela show that she was going to be wearing Margiela at the Met.
We hoped she would show Bush, and she didn't show Bush.
She looks great, but I feel like her best Met look was the Mugler camp look. I don't think she will ever top that look, and that is absolutely fine. And for her to go back to the well with the blonde hair cheapens the impact of the Marilyn Monroe look.
I think a lot of this is hair.
Her hair is still recovering from the fact that she bleached it blonde for that Marilyn Monroe look 3 years ago. There was absolutely no reason for her to go blonde again. She is clearly, if not fully wearing a wig, then wearing extensions that start 2 inches out of her hair. There's no reason for her to be blonde. Like, wear a silver wig and call it a day.
I do think the ensemble itself is incredible. I had hoped that she was open to just having her tits out and wearing one of those insane corsets and possibly wearing a merkin. And it's now become apparent to me that no one's ever going to wear that. Ariana Grande wore the dress, not on the red carpet. She wore Loewe for that, but for her performance, she wore the dress that it was kind of the one that I was like, this is the one that Kim should wear.
So I feel exactly the same way. And I feel like if she wore the dress that Ariana Grande wore for her performance on the red carpet and showed Bush, which famously we know she doesn't have, she would have been probably not the best dressed because it would have been divisive, but it, I think, would have topped her camp look.
Yes, I agree. It would have topped the camp look and it would have overshadowed Zendaya. Not to pit women against each other, but if we're trying to figure out who has won the event, it wasn't Kim this year.
Do you know what Kim's story was about why she decided to wear this? It's inspired by the craziest night I had with a boy in a garden where I woke up and I just threw his sweater over me. It's like, shut the fuck up. There's no way that that is the story.
Okay, but I like that she created a little narrative around it. God, I love Kim. But to go back to Ariana Grande, she had one of the best dresses there for sure. Also, incredible glam. Shout out to friend of the pod and fuck it, Michael Anthony, who killed it with her makeup last night. But it is bizarre to see the dress in that context because the whole point of it was the nudity. On her, looked very, very pretty and glamorous, and it wasn't as like subversive, I guess. It was also shown on a very like Zaftig woman, so very different vibe. Also, the corset is fulfilling a very different role because it wasn't really as extreme cinched in like Kim.
Because she's so wee.
Not to say that skinny girls can't wear the Margiela Couture. They can. They definitely can. I'm just saying it's so far from what it was shown on the runway. I actually think it would have been as major as if Kim had shown Bush, if she had gained like 75 pounds to fit into the runway sample. That would have been like truly major.
Well, see, that actually would have been interesting because, right, her whole thing about losing weight to fit into the Marilyn Monroe dress was like, I just thought I was an actor for a role like Christian Bale. He lost all that weight. It's like, well, Christian Bale also gained a ton of weight to be in American Hustle. So let's complete this arc, Kim.
I would love if she completed that arc, but she didn't complete that arc. It's fine. She still looked amazing. It was amazing. What other Margiela things do we have to talk about? Oh, I did a double take when I saw some random woman wearing one of the best looks from that Margiela show, which was like a puffy white skirt suit and hat with what looks like shredded black nylon stretched over it. I'm like, who the fuck is that bitch? And then I Googled her. It's like, oh, she's a billionaire's wife.
It's funny. She was right behind Taika Waititi and Rita Ora. So I was like, wow, Rita Ora is really pulling a look. And I was like, oh no, that is not Rita Ora. She's a woman named Natasha Poonawalla.
You learn something new every day. So many who's at this event, might I say.
So in our text chain, I was like, the looks that I love are being worn by people that I don't know who they are. And this was one of them. Do we want to wrap it up with Bad Bunny and Gwendolyn Christie? Because they seem to be of a pair. I believe that Bad Bunny was meant to represent the Count and Gwendolyn Christie, the wife from the Garden of Time short story.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I love that. Gwendolyn Christie is the woman of the hour, so it was really fun to see her. And I love that she hosted the Vogue live stream. She was very good at hosting, I will say. They should have her back for sure. But Bad Bunny, gorgeous suit, but too much fashion.
I see what you're saying.
I don't think he needs little glasses. I don't think he needs the hat, because I think we're kind of into Bad Bunny when he's a little bit masked.
So it's sort of the Coco Chanel, take the last piece you put on off before you go out the door.
But that said, the most gorgeous suit in the world.
Yes, and I guess he had a black rose applique that was meant to represent the black rose of the Garden of Time story.
Moving on to non-Galliano, it was a good night for Alexander McQueen. They dressed Lana Del Rey, referencing McQueen's 2006 Widows of Culloden collection, the same collection where Sarah Jessica Parker's McQueen Met Gala look came from. It's funny seeing that famous McQueen runway image of the woman with the antlers, because now I see it and I just think of Yellow Jackets.
It was giving Yellow Jackets. So for those who don't know what we're talking about, Lana had extreme antlers and then a nude tulle wrapped over that. I don't know if you saw the Vogue interview where Lana's there next to Kim Kardashian and Lana Del Rey keeps turning around to like talk to Kim or acknowledge her. But she doesn't realize the radius she's taking up. So you just see Kim like keep ducking so she doesn't get hit by the antlers.
Yeah, I loved it. So instead of the antlers, Lana was dressed like it was thorns, basically. Then she was holding a single rose. So this is the most overt Sleeping Beauty reference that we've gotten, I think, at this year's Met Gala. But I thought it was perfect because if Alexander McQueen had lived, he would fucking love Lana Del Rey. And you know that.
Oh, 1,010%.
I think this was like such a perfect pairing. Also, Sean McGurry, he got dragged like so mercilessly for that collection. I think this was a really good revenge because it got a lot of attention.
And people liked it. Yeah, this was definitely his fashion industry penance.
So another McQueen moment was Kendall Jenner in Givenchy Vintage Fall 99 by Alexander McQueen. Never worn by a person before, allegedly, although that has since been debunked.
Kendall was one of the few people actually wearing vintage. I really did think we would get more vintage.
Respect to Kenny.
Sustainable queen. Taking a private jet to get there, I'm sure. Okay, so during her red carpet interview, I believe with Lala Anthony for Vogue, she said that this ensemble has only ever been on a mannequin. It's never been worn by a human being before. And then, of course, the fashion sleuths on Twitter quickly found that Winona Ryder had actually worn this for an issue of Flaunt magazine in 1999. So that is not exactly true.
Who cares?
Also, Kendall is just saying something that a stylist or like the vintage house that gave this to her told her.
This was very much giving slutty Lord of the Rings, which isn't normally a look I would gravitate towards. But there's something about this where I just like really fucked with it. Also, did you notice that her full ass crack was out? Like, not like inches. Like, it was actually one of the most revealing dresses of the night.
I'm now realizing I never saw the back, only the front.
That's a shame, Lauren.
So you're saying that Kendall and Emily Ratajkowski were the only people potentially showing hole?
Yeah, a little bit of hole. Okay. Maybe the best, most thrilling historical reference, Isabelle Huppert in Balenciaga, a reinterpretation of a satin wedding dress with a massive train that was based on a piece that was in the exhibit designed by Calou Sur, which was a French design house from the 1910s, 1920s, co-founded by her great-great-grandmother.
I did not know this.
I didn't know this bitch was a little Marissa Berenson out here. Like, this Nepo baby. I live for it.
This fashion Nepo baby. Who knew?
It's so cool that she has these iconic fashion designers in her family, but I was looking at the Wikipedia entry for Calou Sur because I know nothing about the history of this brand. And of course, in true Isabelle Huppert fashion, one of the four sisters died under mysterious circumstances, rumored to be a suicide, but disputed by the family. I'm like, of course, this is her origin story.
It's all making sense.
Yeah. But about this dress, I just want to say the size of the train was so massive. I think the photos from this was kind of the most major photo from last night in terms of drama, way more effective than the Cardi B thing. Obviously, Rihanna set the precedent for this with the China through the looking glass outfit, but I don't know. This is kind of the most major version of that sense, I think, just because it's something in the show.
Well, also, Isabelle Huppert posted a photo of her in front of the dress that her great-great-grandmother designed that is in the exhibition. Like, that is the ultimate flex.
So good. So good. Anyway, moving on to other women of a certain age.
Yes, I think we finally have a good intro. We rarely have good transitions on this podcast.
Although I do want to say, not enough women of a certain age this year. I think there was a dip in women of a certain age compared to some past years, but maybe that's just me. Everyone that was a woman of a certain age was in the Balenciaga posse because that's apparently all they care about, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, now that Pierre Paolo is out of Valentino, I hope that Demna adopts Frances McDormand because I need her back at the Met Gala.
I know. Also, Marc Jacobs is usually the other person bringing women of a certain age as dates, but not this year. Dula Peep. But Balenciaga, they dress Naomi Watts, Nicole Kidman, Australian besties.
Yeah, I will say Naomi Watts sort of taking the Babe Paley drag from the set of Feud to yes. The red carpet of the Met.
I like to see her enter the fold. And Nicole Kidman, we're used to seeing her wear Balenciaga.
That's true, but like, is this the closest we're ever going to get to someone doing a fabric merkin?
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, because her dress, it had all the black tulle or whatever the fabric was. Yes, it went all the way down, maybe an excessive merkin, but like, if I can't get Margiela Bush, I was looking for it anywhere I could possibly find it, Joe.
I think Michelle Yeoh was my favorite of the non-Isabelle Huppert Balenciaga people.
Yeah, I feel like people love to dog on Demna of like he's, you know, a meme lord designer or something, but he knows his shit and he knows how to pull that out for the right clients.
Yes, it's like obviously he's a meme lord troll, but also like remade that dress that Nicole Kidman wore, which is like the most classical sort of conservative thing you could wear.
I think it should tell you just the volume of people and content at the Met Gala that Michelle Yeoh's dress, which was gorgeous, but did not become a meme because it, you could say that it looks like tinfoil. You know, wrap her up, put her
absolutely
in at 350 for 30 minutes and she's done.
Yeah, there was just too much going on for that. Also, not a woman of a certain age, but man of a certain age, Michael Shannon carrying the Balenciaga potato chip bag.
See, Demna knows where to meme lord. Michael Shannon, meme.
We need more men of a certain age. I also love seeing Jeff Goldblum and Prada, obviously.
Yeah, that was his Met Gala debut, which felt shocking to me.
He's just such an elegant man. Like, you understand why he has this ongoing relationship with Prada.
Yes, and you'll love, I saw on TikTok, there's a guy named Reese who was on the red carpet, and he asked Jeff Goldblum, you know, if there was any film character you could bring to the Met Gala, who would it be? There's a long pause, a long Jeff Goldblum pause, and he goes, Petra von Kant from The Bitter Tears of Petra von Kant. And of course,
good answer.
Well, yes, but of course the Gen Z interviewer was like, cool. No idea what he was talking about.
That makes me love him even more. Another woman of a certain age, Demi Moore, although she frankly doesn't look like a woman of a certain age still somehow.
She's living in her own garden of time, frankly.
Literally, she's living that death becomes her life. She wore Harris Reed. I feel like people are either into Harris Reed or they're not. And I am in the so not into this camp.
How would you describe this dress? It's
something Lady Gaga would have worn like 15 years ago.
She looks amazing. I read that it was constructed from repurposed vintage wallpaper.
That just reminded me. Can we talk about something else? I don't know if you're watching the live stream, the Vogue live stream, but like there were so many people that were like, this ugly dress that I'm wearing took like 50,000 hours of manpower. And I'm like, babe, that seems like 49,000 too many, you know?
Oh, really? The thing I was losing my mind about during the Vogue live stream is, I think it was when Dove Cameron, who was like the 4,000th person wearing a floral dress, was being interviewed by Lala Anthony. And she was like, that's what I love about this theme. There's just so many different ways to interpret it. And Dove Cameron was like, yeah. And it's like, no. There is literally seemingly one way you have all interpreted this theme.
And by you, we also mean your stylist and the fashion designers. Meg Ryan and Michael Kors. See, this was the unexpected woman of a certain age.
When I saw her, I went, oh shit. And it reminded me of the old days of the Met where designers like a Michael Kors would just bring their celebrity friend and there wasn't like corporate or impression count considerations. It's like, you know what? I had lunch with her at Bar Pitti and she was a lot of fun. You want to come to this? There's this event up at the Met the first Monday of May. You want to come to that?
Yeah. Look, not my favorite dress of all time, but I love that he invited her. And I love that at some point they posed for photos in matching sunglasses. Also, Sofia Coppola in Chanel. I think when Tom Ford lamented that the Met Gala used to be a bunch of really chic people, this is what he was talking about.
Yeah, because I'm sure that this Chanel ensemble was made for her, but you also, I would believe she was like, oh, I forgot that the Met Gala was today. I just like pulled this out of my closet. I bought it 15 years ago. And you'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, I would believe that this is something that she just owns. Plus, while contemporary Chanel, not my favorite, Sofia Coppola has a very long-standing relationship with that brand. So it is a pillar of her personal fashion sense. So it does feel like she looks like herself and isn't in some weird drag for the Met Gala.
And lends to my point of just someone who went to the Met Gala dressed the best they could be.
But it's also wild seeing her, you know, because she always used to wear her hair so sort of like casually and loosely. And now it's very like rich Italian woman photographed by Richard Avedon.
It's getting a little bouffant.
I don't mind that. She's probably, you know, like in all things, ahead of the curve. So perhaps that's what our hair will look like soon.
I mean, look, we're rapidly becoming women of a certain age. Our dream.
I've been a woman of a certain age since I was like 12 mentally.
Next time I see you, I better see you in a bouffant shell.
Sarah Jessica Parker in Richard Quinn. I do love this choice of designer for her. Would have liked to see more people in Richard Quinn, who is one of very few designers that I associate with florals, like first and foremost.
Absolutely. One of the few people who did not wear florals, which is interesting considering her choice of Richard Quinn.
I know. I actually did expect her to come dressed like a giant rose, like the biggest one she's ever worn.
I do always appreciate that she does the work. That is a woman who read and reread that J.G. Ballard short story.
Well, and we know that because she posted photos of her holding printouts of the story on Instagram. I don't know. To me, this isn't my absolute favorite look. Love our queen, obviously. And I love that, like, the skirt of it was very sculptural. It was, like, very sort of different take on a familiar SJP silhouette, which is like a T-length full skirt. But then she has this very sculptural hat, also very SJP. But I don't know, I feel like the hat and the skirt, it was like competing with each other in a weird way. And it was like obscuring who she was as a person. Like, I feel like I couldn't see her.
But you knew it was her because she was next to Andy Cohen.
Exactly. The Barney's shoe salesman from
season 6. I mean, look, even she was breaking under the pressure of the theme, because I saw her being interviewed and she was in her very nice way, but even she was like, I don't know what this short story means. I also appreciate about Sarah Jessica Parker is she's old school, right? She's not checking into the Mark Hotel the day before.
No.
She's getting picked up at her brownstone.
I would have liked to see Andy Cohen in a matching, like, Richard Quinn gimp outfit.
Ooh.
In the same fabric. Like, that's what could have really brought this up for me a little bit, I think.
Cosplay we can get behind.
Anna Wintour in Loewe.
Surprised it was Loewe.
Always nice to see her not wear Chanel, just for the variety, not because she doesn't look major. It's just like, it's a breath of fresh air. But I think of all the 3D floral appliques, this was perhaps the most successful because they used feathers to create tulips that were then on like a long evening coat, as opposed to like a very princessy, you know, ball gown.
And no Bill Nye in sight.
I know.
Either. The American Bill Nye, who people often think we're referring to when we say Anna Wintour's dating Bill Nye, and British actor Bill Nye.
Nowhere to be found.
All right, Chell, enough about these women of a certain age. Can we blow through the different crews that showed up?
Absolutely, because I feel like it's not just about what designer you go with. It's like who else they're dressing and what you look like as a crew.
I know that this happens year after year, but something about this particular year really felt like the movie Warriors, where there's like different factions that all have a different look.
Oh, absolutely. And also, some of these are like literal, like nightmare blunt rotations, but we'll get into that. But not the Loewe crew.
No.
Not them.
That is a party bus I would like to be on.
Absolutely. So Loewe dressed a lot of people. They were also one of the co-sponsors of the exhibition.
Sorry, this is a bit of a diatribe, but did you see who sponsored the Vogue live red carpet feed?
No.
It was so random. It was eBay and Porsche.
That's weird that I didn't notice as I fully watched that whole thing. But anyway, so in the Loewe crew, a lot of people, but Taylor Russell, Greta Lee, Dan Levy, Josh O'Connor, and Ariana Grande's first look. I feel like these were the more noteworthy looks.
Right.
Taylor Russell looked amazing.
Yeah.
This actually might have been the best of the night, or certainly among the best.
So she wore what looked to be a wood-painted bodice, like a cast of her torso.
Yeah, I don't think it was actually wood. I feel like it was probably something else, but it recalls the famous wood Hussein Shalayan corset. McQueen also did some shit with wood. it was a real bad bitch look in like a sea of this kind of very frou-frou, hyper feminine, you know, poofy kind of stuff. And she looks like a human being. I think that's a good thing about Lueve in general, is that they managed to do things that are avant-garde while still retaining the humanity of the people that are wearing these clothes.
And also the variety of the looks. Like, you have Taylor Russell, and then you have someone like Greta Lee, who this collision of, you know, this rigid architectural shape of the gown, but then also the delicate fabric and flowers.
Again, the right amount of avant-garde for a non-Grace Jones person. Also, Dan Levy's suit was so beautiful. Did you know that the floral part of it is actually beaded?
No.
This is the one thing where it's like, oh, it took like 50 years to make this, where I'm like, okay, fair. But this feels like very comb adjacent. It feels like something that John Waters would wear if he was ever invited to one of these things. But for some reason, they only wanted to invite Baz Luhrmann to the Met Gala.
Well, Baz Luhrmann and his new face.
I screamed when you sent me that photo. Lauren just sends me a photo of Catherine Martin and Baz Luhrmann. She's like, new face?
New face, who this?
Moving on to the Tom Brown crew. It seems like it gets bigger every year.
I wonder why.
We know why. Tom Brown is life partners with Andrew Bolton,
the head curator of the Costume
Institute. So this is like, he has, yes, a very established relationship with this particular event.
Which is fine by me.
Absolutely.
If he continues to bring people like Cole Escola.
I know. My friend Joanna Fields texted me, shout out to Joanna, and was like, who's your favorite aside from Cole Escola? Because she knows how much I love them. Also, Nikki was like, they look like the child from Barry Lyndon, which I think is a completely accurate read on what this look is. This delighted me. Cole is a genius, and it's actually like, this is the most wholesome and lovely pairing of person and brand.
Yeah, Cole is wearing a double-breasted white suit, a bow tie,
a wicker wiener dog bag, or for the Australians, a sausage dog bag.
Oh no.
Did you know that they call them sausage dogs?
No, but it makes sense. Obviously, Cole has the most literal interpretation of garden, right? They have flowers. They have carnations.
Carnations, I know. In the wicker wiener dog.
But I love it.
Yeah. But we have to talk about Queen Latifah and her wife / personal trainer.
Do we, Chelsea, or do you just need to get this off your chest?
No, I don't have much to say. I like how they picked a different flower. Like, she had a bird of paradise situation happening, which isn't the most obvious flower. Most people went to roses.
Right.
My biggest takeaway is that Cole Escola and like Amy Fine Collins are the only people that look normal in Tom Brown, and perhaps Tom Brown himself.
And someone like Cynthia Erivo is probably the best synthesis of the designer and theme, in the sense that Cynthia Erivo is wearing like a classic Tom Brown silhouette with the crop blazer and tie, and then there's the floral appliques.
Yeah, it's more that so many people did it. It's like, can I just get one look that doesn't look like the flower girl just like terrorized you?
And then Gigi Hadid was in Tom Brown, which felt like an outlier for Tom Brown's design ethos.
Okay, this look, I actually can't figure out what my opinion is. I've been struggling with it ever since. Maybe I just don't have one.
Oh, I'm now looking at it again, and I'm seeing the Tom Brown influence of like, it is a very corseted, off the shoulder.
It's very well executed for what it is, certainly. But this was another one of those where she's like, you know, it took like 500 people, like 5 years to make this.
I'm also now just realizing that the beginning of the skirt coming off of the bodice is a not even deconstructed, it's like a deflated blazer.
The glam I don't like. I think a lot of people this year, it's like, it's not even the dress, it's like the glam. Like, did you see J-Lo?
Yes.
What did that makeup artist do to her.
Scott Barnes, her longtime makeup artist?
Whatever it was so bad that it's like the Schiaparelli actually looked like it came from like one of those tragic evening wear showrooms in downtown LA.
Yeah, it was giving Crystal Connors or the Wish.com version of Crystal Connors. In Goddess, that's the show, right?
I think the glam in Goddess was better, personally.
Also, I had a lot of issues with the shoes because it was the platform with the 6-inch heels. It's like, as you taught me during the tour, just commit to a strappy sandal. It's okay.
Yeah, I know. Lauren's like, I'm going to wear this pump with something. I'm like, I think you need a 5-inch strappy sandal. I'm sorry.
And the answer is, guys, I did.
Not us judging these outfits while I'm sitting here like a literal monster wearing UGG boots and a hoodie.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I look like shit. All these people look way better than me. Disregard everything.
No, but that's the joy.
That is the joy. What else? The Stella McCartney crew. This might be the Nightmare Blunt rotation because we got Ed Sheeran, Cara Delevingne, FKA Twigs, who enjoy the music, but she does look crazy.
Well, okay. To me, it's like, is this the most motley crew of the Met Gala? Because in my mind, there's no coherent vibe. But then when I looked...
No, it's like I picked three British celebrities out of a hat.
Well, I guess the coherent vibe is that Stella McCartney paired with a lab-grown diamond brand, and that's what all of the... Like, the Cara Delevingne hoodie crop top is made from lab-grown diamonds. Same with FKA Twigs. Ed Sheeran had lab-grown diamond cufflinks.
Someone told me the other day that it's like, they're actually kind of fucked up, though. And I'm like, wait, what?
Of course it is. It's like, well, Stella McCartney loves pleather. It's like, it's just plastic.
I know.
It's not better.
I know.
It is literally the definition of greenwashing.
It's slightly better. Maybe, I don't know.
It's not killing animals, it's still killing the planet.
Does anyone have one of those Stella McCartney pleather bags, or has anyone had one? Like, do they last more than a year or two?
Or those gigantic platform loafers,
the foam. Yeah. Okay, actually though, I feel like Ed Sheeran, like, she did what she had to do, you know? Like, he doesn't look that fucked. Like, he looks pretty good considering he's Ed Sheeran.
She made him look like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber, so that's a win?
Well, with his coloring, is that so crazy to do like a powder blue? I don't know. Stella herself looked amazing in like an oversized white suit. Anyway, moving on. Willy Chavarria dressed a lot of guys.
I was going to say the crew I would want to be in, but like I have no place being in.
No, you have no place in the crew of Leon Bridges, Coleman Domingo, and... Morgan Spector, a.k.a. our favorite railroad magnate from the Gilded Age.
Our favorite robber baron.
Like, I guess his voice is used throughout the exhibition in some way, so now I want to see it even more. But I think, and Willie himself was there and looked amazing. When I was looking at these, I think part of his genius is, like, he's very good at creating a flamboyant menswear look, but also he knows where to stop. And the problem with menswear at the Met Gala is a lot of people, like, don't know where to stop. So they look like crazy fashion warlocks or something.
I think to your point of Bad Bunny having too much look, like, everyone that was dressed in Willy Chavarria, just enough look. Just oversized enough. The floral, you know, fabric rosette, just big enough.
Yeah, like, it's flashy, but it's like they still look like human beings on some level. And not like they just got attacked by, like, a fashion designer, which is, like, what half of the guys look like. Especially because they don't usually dress like this, you know? Or they don't usually dress in a high fashion way.
No, it's costume, but chic. Good for everyone that was in Willy Chavarria.
Yeah, I think these looks will age well.
All right, let's get to my nightmare blunt rotation, which would be the Chloe crew.
It worked for Greta Gerwig. Like, was it on theme? No. But, like, okay. You understand why she would be in that crew. Like, I understand the thought process. Obviously, Sienna Miller is, like, the ultimate Chloe girl. Zoe Saldana and Emma McKay really copped it with the looks. Like, I feel like they got the sloppy seconds. or Emma Mackey, did I say that wrong? The non-Margot Robbie, Margot Robbie from Sex Education.
I really think that's why she dyed her hair brown. She was like, stop saying I look like Margot Robbie. So I think all of the looks except for Greta Gerwig were from the debut collection of this new designer. But Greta Gerwig, I'm now looking at an image of all the girls and Greta Gerwig in black, the one outlier all in black. It's like when you have a funeral at 6 and like a Bob Fosse double feature at 8. It's what she kind of looks like.
Again, when we discussed the show, I said something to the effect of, I'm just not ready for this look to be back right now. And that's more of a personal thing. I don't have a problem when a brand just decides that they don't care about the theme and like wants to just do their own thing. That's totally fine. Not my favorite.
You're not here for boho. Look, I'm not ready for a gigantic and what I imagine is $3,000 Chloe belt. And by Chloe belt, I mean Chloe in a script.
Yeah, like I said, Zoe Saldana really copped it. Moving on. This was perhaps one of the biggest surprises to me because I really fucked with the Balmain crew.
It was a tight crew, but they all killed it, including the designer himself.
They did, especially the designer himself, because like I think they actually thought about the concept of the show much more than most other designers. Because Olivier Rousteing and Tyla, he did kind of a couple's look with her. She looked like she was in a dress made of sand and was carrying an hourglass. So very literal interpretation of time, but also abstract.
Yeah, sands of time. I'm into it.
And he was wearing I don't even know how to describe it, a sculptural sand shirt that had his face made out of sand on it. Okay. And then some like black flares, and it's like, you look major.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I was like, that is his own face, right?
I believe it's his own face, but I just love the fact that like no one did anything that looked like this at all. This completely stood out from what everyone else was doing. His look for Elle Fanning was absolutely incredible.
Well, it would seem that he, or Elle Fanning, who is always very good to adhering to a theme, really dived into the J.G. Ballard short story, because there's a line in the short story, their diamond brilliance contained 1,000 faces, the crystal seeming to drain the air of its light and motion. And so it really seems like, you know, her outfit is frosted and diamond brilliance and is referencing those specific notes in the short story.
Well, I also think there's something in the short story where they apparently, like, the couple turns into statues at the end. So it's kind of giving that, like, when the house finally gets raided, they're just, like, statues.
Yes.
So it's also giving that, but it's also kind of, like, vaguely Sleeping Beauty fairy tale, because there's little birdies suspended in the air holding up parts of her dress, which just, was it Snow White? Which bitch got dressed by the birds? Cinderella? Which one has the singing mice? Which one? I don't know.
You're the Disney aficionado. Out of the two of us, I would say.
I really love this.
But how much of our love of the Balmain crew is influenced by the fact that, like, for literally an hour and a half before, all we saw were people in floral appliques, and we were like, finally, birds.
But also it was cool because it would be very easy just to show up in head-to-toe Balmain, like the Chloe people, just askew the theme and be like, we're just doing us. But like, they chose to do something that was a little outside the brand, fit with the theme, but not totally obvious.
The joy of the Met Gala, even though I feel like I've spent a lot of this episode being like how joyless the Met Gala has become, is as disappointing as our favorites can be in their outfit choices, it also opens the door to making new fashion stars. I did not know who Tyla was before.
Oh, you haven't heard that song?
No.
Yes, you have.
I'm sure I've heard it, but didn't know that it was her, but
you definitely have. You're on TikTok. These looks would have worked for the camp show also.
Yes.
All of them, which is funny. Anyway, moving on to the Chanel crew. A crew to me with minimal impact.
Not exactly a nightmare blunt rotation, but no. You know, they're not setting the world on fire.
They're not. That's Michelle Williams, Riley Keough, Tessa Thompson, Gracie Abrams, Penelope Cruz. I always like seeing Penelope Cruz, aka that girl that Mr. Big flirts with in Sex and the City 2. I bet you guys forgot about that. Never forget. But I just like her as an actress. So it's like, I guess I'm just like happier to see her than like some of these other chicks.
Right. And Penelope Cruz fell into what I would call the third category or third trope that kind of kept reappearing, which is her Chanel dress, which also somehow took 50,000 hours, was constructed from other Chanel dresses.
I love that. That's a good story. And we got some other dresses like that. Like Charlie XCX wore some Marnie dress that was made out of like 10,000 old t-shirts from the 1950s or something.
If we add the collective hours that it took to make all of these dresses, is it like 10 years of time?
I'd actually love to know what that figure is. But there's just an astounding amount of work that goes into the Met Gala from so many different people.
And then, guys, these outfits are never seen again. It's not like the Costume Institute then is like, we would like your ensembles and we will archive them for the Costume Institute.
They actually should just force them to give them the best five outfits from every year. And then, you know, in 40 years, we can get that show.
Absolutely. Chanel was a lot of like, it's Chanel, but it's Sleeping Beauty Chanel. That was Michelle Williams. Riley Keough did like floral Chanel.
It's what our, last year was their year. We can move on to another French luxury mega house with very little impact. Let's talk about the Dior crew. They dressed Rosalia in an incredible Stephen Jones headpiece, I will say.
Okay, that was incredible.
No notes on that. Neck up. Perfection. Neck down. Why?
I don't know if you saw her explanation. I referenced it at the beginning of the show. The way that she justifies wearing basically a 1950s inspired Dior skirt suit is that when she thinks about the garden, she thinks about closing her eyes. And when she closes her eyes, she sees black. What? What?
Okay, so she has to be like the face of an upcoming campaign or something, because this actually doesn't make any sense. It's also weird because it's like Rosalia is insanely cool and can pull off more fashion than 99% of the people at this event. So it's weird to see her in something like this.
In the chicest funeral outfit from the 1950s? Yes.
You know what? It would be more appropriate for Mr. Big's funeral. This would be a great alternate funeral look for Carrie.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But for Rosalia, kind of weird vibes. Also, Elizabeth Debicki, boring.
Well, yeah. I'm sure 6'1" character actress Elizabeth Debicki was looking longingly at 6'3" character actress Gwendolyn Christie and Margiela being like, that could have been me. I could have served cunt as well. But instead, I'm in this chartreuse dress. God damn it.
Was it even chartreuse? I wish it was chartreuse. Wasn't it more like mustard colored? Or am I colorblind?
A jeweled.
What if this is how I find out? Hold on, I'm Googling. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it was chartreuse.
Oh my God, are you colorblind? Fuck. This is how we find
Okay, but to be fair, the headpiece is more mustard colored. It doesn't match the color of the fabric of the dress.
And the explanation of the inspirations from this Vogue article are chaotic. A reimagining of the 1935 film A Midsummer Night's Dream meets a, quote, 70s kind of social cool girl today.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Halston-y in a certain sense if it didn't have that little hat.
Yes, but then also with the whimsy of a 60s heiress at a garden party. You can't be 70s and 60s.
Who can really tell the difference between 1969 and 1970? Just gonna say. Okay, Alexandra Daddario, wow.
Well, the more confusing thing is, instead of being like, yes, the inspiration was Medusa because, you know, my gigantic eyes and also the snake I'm wearing on top of my head. But no, instead she was like, it's inspired by a woodland nymph. What?
See, if Alessandro Michele Araguchi had done like a mango collection, I feel like it would look like this.
Woof.
And Willow Smith looked fine. Anyway, moving on. Prada crew.
Should we start with Jeff Goldblum looking like the time traveler that he is?
Love that for him. Brie Larson, though. Don't love this. What was that?
Well, Chelsea, I'll tell you, according to Brie Larson, they wanted to lean into the visual representation that marked the passing of time. Sand falling through an hourglass, the changing colors of a golden hour sunset, and the dress itself is made through the dedication of the atelier, giving their time to this craft.
No, someone in the atelier is smoking crack, because look at the sketch versus what this actually looks like.
The sketch itself has an exterior sculptural dress that is very, very exaggerated. Like Cardi B's dress exaggerated.
It's not an accurate representation of what this dress is, but the colors were kind of whack to begin with.
Also, are Brie Larson's feet okay? Look at this photo, Chelsea.
Yeah, that looks painful. Prada is like such a mixed bag when it comes to celebrity customs, because for whatever reason, it's like they will literally do anything. So sometimes it's like feels very Prada, and other times it's like, why did you make this? Like, also, I feel like what they made for Amanda Gorman, it's like, this is the least Prada looking thing I've ever seen. If not for that giant puffy headband, I would never know it was Prada.
But then you have someone like Troye Sivan where you're like, well, this is the most Prada thing I've ever seen.
Troye Sivan looked incredible. And I thought Sarah Paulson looked major.
With the all of the bows, yes.
The longer, more dramatic version of the bow dresses that were in their last fashion show. I thought that was great. And it really filled a necessary void that I assumed would be filled by Simone Rocha Gaultier, which we didn't see a lot of. We saw some, but it was all in people I didn't know.
That's what I'm saying. The best people I saw dressed are people that I just did not know who they were. And that was it for the what I assume were designer bought tables. What's interesting about this year is a lot of the usual suspects were not here.
Well, I mean, that wasn't it. We just are choosing not to talk about like Tory Burch and like Vera Wang just for everyone's comfort and sanity.
Oh, and the H&M table.
You know, not no to some of those H&M looks. Also, get those checks. Go off, queens. I love that for you. Like, Hari Neff looked amazing. Can we get into some brands that declined to participate?
That's what I'm saying.
Louis Vuitton. That's fine. Yeah. Don't miss you. You never do anything that has anything to do with the theme anyway. You always have the same people wearing like weird jumpsuits and like little mini dresses. That's cool. You can sit that one out.
Yeah, you broke Emma Stone's dress at the Oscars.
Bottega Veneta, yeah, I don't think we really need you, you know? You're not good at, like, big evening gowns. That's the thing. It's like they're good at actually just making, like, normal clothes and, like, bags and shoes and stuff.
Maybe another year.
Like, it's not giving, like, gown town.
Yeah, another designer we didn't see was Gucci, which I think makes sense. They're having a bit of a reset moment.
But I feel like this would be a good time to show people what they can do. I don't understand why they sat this one out.
Because their current design ethos is the antithesis of what the theme is.
Like Saint Laurent, who also didn't dress people this year. They historically just send people there in the black little mini dresses and are like, fuck this theme, this is who we are. And Gucci could have done the same.
Well, and Saint Laurent has all the tulle titty tops, and we didn't see one of them.
That's because I don't think you actually can wear them. They're literally made of pantyhose material. And I think the fact that we haven't seen one celebrity wearing them means that they are literally unwearable and unmanufacturable.
But oddly on theme, if that top disintegrated over the course of the evening.
Absolutely. Valentino, I get it. They're in an in-between phase right now, so that makes total sense. Didn't see them. Saint Laurent only dressed Tom Ford.
That was crazy. When Tom Ford was being interviewed and he was like, well, I used to design for Yves Saint Laurent, I was like, oh my God, he's wearing a vintage blazer from the time that he designed there. And then he was like, and then Anthony Vaccarello offered to design me a blazer. I'm like, oh.
No, I love that. That's like so fucking cute. It has rich history, like with the Isabel Huppert thing. It's like, I love that. I thought that was really good and I thought he looked amazing. And he always looks amazing because he has a sense of style. And he's a very handsome man.
And I feel like he has a sense of humor. If I were going to the Met Gala, I'd want to go to Tom Ford and hear all of his thoughts about everyone walking the red carpet.
Oh, of course. Of course. And we also didn't get Moschino, who I think would have probably killed it. I mean, again, the new creative director isn't doing anything gowny, but I feel like Moschino actually, like, has made dresses that are like made out of wristwatches and shit. So it actually kind of would make sense. Some bitch could show up like dressed like a grandfather clock or whatever.
Would that be you, Chelsea?
It would not be me, but to wrap things up, what are your best dressed?
Yeah, for my best dress, I tried to do a mixture of things we've talked about, things we didn't get to, but I would say my number one best dressed is a tie between Greta Lee and Loewe. And Tyla Imbalman.
Yeah, work.
And then, controversially, I have Kylie Jenner and Oscar De La Renta.
Oh, I loved Kylie Jenner.
Because that is someone that just looks the best she's ever looked. That was last year. That was this year. I don't care if it's on theme. I don't care. She looked great.
Well, the tit was so major. Like the pointy boob, like that's like, that feels really correct right now. It looks really amazing on her. It was like a really good subversion of just sort of a classic satin strapless evening gown.
And I thought the length that came to the ankle is a silhouette she hasn't done before. It's not a mini, it's not a long dress. And I felt like it's very chic for her. I also have Divine Joy Randolph.
You know what? Yes, I agree. I agree. This is the best, like, if you're going to be, like, dressed by a mass market brand like Gap, this is the most fabulous sort of end product and synthesis of all of these things.
And also, we talked about Zac Posen, who is now the new creative director for Gap, and we were like, what the fuck is that going to be like? And now I'm excited for it. I'm like, okay.
Okay, but we're literally never going to buy that. It's like, yes, he's the perfect person to, like, dress someone for the Met Gala if he's also the creative director of Gap.
Right, but I'm just saying, I think it lends to a romanticism with denim. I understand that I'm not going to get a denim ball gown inspired by ocean waves at the Gap. I'm just saying that I couldn't even understand what his sensibility with the Gap would be like. And now I'm like, I'd fuck with a denim jacket with some ruffles.
I still maintain that there's no way for this to trickle down to anything that we would actually buy, but I think Zac Posen has had some great moments at the Met Gala historically. He really thrived at that Charles James show. And this looked amazing on her. And also her hair looked amazing. Like it was just a good glam for her overall. But anyway, who are your other best dressed?
I really didn't feel like this got spoken about. Jodie Turner-Smith in Burberry.
Wait, I don't even think I saw that. Let me Google.
So it's a dress made out of 150,000 faux pearls, but but I know, but
it's literally a joke at this point.
But it wasn't like Lupita Nyong'o's Oscar dress. It's like the underpinning of the dress is what the faux pearls were. And then there was this overlay of silk organza, faux feather flowers. And it was just very major. And that's what I'm saying. There's so many people there now that even major looks, I'm not seeing till the next morning. Chelsea, I didn't even know Nicki Minaj was there until this morning.
No, I know. Okay, this is beautiful, but it does look like she's getting married and not to Joshua Jackson.
Who's now dating Lupita Nyong'o.
I know.
You know, for me, I'm just going to do two honorable mentions. Usher and Alexander McQueen.
Okay, but that was a little bit like Dracula vibes.
It was a little Phantom of the Opera, but I was kind of into it.
Wait, let me look at it again.
You know, he's got a cowboy hat. He's got a cape.
Babe, it's like Indiana Jones meets Phantom of the Opera.
All right, well, my other semi-controversial honorable mention is Rachel Sennett in Balenciaga.
Oh, yeah, she looked great. I think that was another one that was made out of, like, 10,000 old dresses.
Well, it does. It feels like she was serving cunt on the Titanic, and I was into it.
Yeah, good for her. Love to see her there. So my best dress, Taylor Russell in Loewe, fresh, modern, on theme. Cola Scola, of course, in Thom Browne. Isabelle Huppert, obviously, to me, this had the most exciting backstory.
Frankly, I'm shocked you waited this long to name her best dressed.
Lana in McQueen, go off Sean McGurr, perfect for McQueen, perfect for Lana, and Zendaya's second outfit.
Which should have been her first, because she will come to regret wearing two outfits on the Met red carpet.
And my honorable mentions, Hamish Bowles in Dior, and Stephen Jones. So amazing to see him. Also, I just recently learned that he had a stroke because he wrote a really amazing essay for Vogue about it. So it's just amazing seeing him out and about. Read that essay if you can. And I also loved Amelia Gray in Undercover. Someone had to wear that terrarium dress. It's actually in the exhibit. That was cool. This is kind of what I would expect Rosalia to wear.
Yes.
Erykah Badu in Comme des Garçons. She's just a cool bitch. It was on theme because it was floral, but like she actually has a sense of style and it always carries through to her Met Gala looks. And I just always appreciate seeing her at these functions.
All right. Now that we've gone through the best, shall we get through our worst dressed?
You start.
Number one for me, Elsa Pataky and Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth is in Tom Ford. They're whatever. They're in tan outfits.
You don't have to explain it to me. I agree. That was fucked.
Well, but more my issue is Zendaya being a chair for the Met Gala absolutely makes sense. I understand it is like celebrities getting stars on the Walk of Fame now. It's part of a promotional tour as well. But for Chris Hemsworth, who I guess is promoting Furiosa, it's like he doesn't need to do this as a promotional stop. He doesn't give a shit about fashion. He didn't dress on theme. He doesn't seem to know where he is at the moment. No. Wow, that's the most Joan Rivers I've sounded.
A lot of people care about him and we just don't. Sorry to the Australians. Like, it's literally all they talk about. I'm not even joking.
Are the Hemsworths?
Yeah, well, they're like, oh, they're back in Byron Bay. Or it's like, oh, I saw them at like China Diner the other night. It's like a whole thing.
I think you can guess my next pick, Rosalia in Dior for her story alone. Gotta go on worst dress list.
Next year, we should just tell the stories and try and guess the outfits based on the backstory.
Oh my God, so good. Maybe we should incorporate that for the live show as an audience participation game. It's like, can you figure out the Met Gala look from their explanation? Next up, I have Gabrielle Union in Michael Kors. It feels like a common trope. If it wasn't florals and it wasn't a dress made from other dresses, it was thoughty Ariel, like thoughty mermaid look, and that's what her outfit was giving. Did not care for it. And then lastly, Awkwafina in H&M. I agree. Hari Nef looked incredible in H&M. Awkwafina was just giving like...
Well, at least she got paid.
There's that. But it was giving like Project Runway Challenge, but like for a debutante ball or something.
Yeah, no, I agree. Not good.
All right. I cannot wait. What are your worst dress, Chell?
I have a few different categories of worst dress. Okay. I'm going to start with what I'm going to call avant-garde nightmares. So Lizzo looking like a haunted tree. This look is where Alexander McQueen's old ideas went to die. And I don't know who designed it. I can't find credits for it anywhere.
I love the idea that whomever designed it was like, we do not claim this, actually.
It's funny. She posted it on Instagram with the caption, "If I'm not your best dressed, you're fat phobic," which I do believe is a joke on her part, which is legitimately funny. But all the comments are like, babe, like, it's not about that.
Yeah.
And Demi Moore, trying too hard, don't like it. Then my next category of worst dressed is gowns that look like they're from tragic showrooms in downtown LA. So Mindy Kaling in a Gaurav Gupta and Taraji P. Henson in Simkai. That was not right.
To do a nude bodice that doesn't match your skin tone. And
it's good. Giving like flown in from the worst designer in Dubai straight to downtown LA. And then it's on the red carpet. And lastly, I'm going to go with bad ethereal looks. So Jessica Biel in Tamara Ralph. I don't know who that is.
And I didn't even know Jessica Biel was at the Met Gala until you just said it.
And Alexandra Daddario in Dior.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, Jessica Biel is sort of, it looks like knockoff Valentino.
Yes, but like the color is like, it's like a coral that just like will give you nightmares. Okay, lastly, least dressed. Who's the least dressed?
Well, I referenced her earlier, but I gotta go with Emily Ratajkowski in Versace because it made me wonder, is she showing hole?
It's crazy how, like, no matter what the theme is, someone always has to wear one of these dresses. Even the J.Lo Schiaparelli dress was a little bit, like, nude illusion, sparkly, whatever. Carol G. also wore one of them, Marc Jacobs. My least dressed pick, Rita Ora in Marnie, which I loved. She might also be one of my best dressed.
You mean made from beads that Rita Ora said were from the first or second century BC?
Great. I love that. This looks like a sort of like hippie version of something that Cher might have worn in the 1970s. And I think it looks amazing. She has a smoking bod. She can pull this off. Whatever this is. And I think she showed more skin than anyone else there, which is an accomplishment.
Good for her.
Okay. I have to stop talking about the Met Gala. I have to stop thinking about the Met Gala.
Oh, really? I got 2 more hours left in me, Chell.
I'm done with the Met Gala.
Do we have hopes and dreams for next year?
They'll ban having 2 outfits on the red carpet. preemptively.
Going along with that, my hope and dream is that next year things are scaled down a bit. This doesn't need to be as egalitarian, especially if we're going to get more access, but people are dressing crazier and somehow worse. Let's make it a little more exclusive. It's okay. I'll be fine just to watch a hour of E-red carpet coverage and then see the photos the next morning. Let's make this like the mid-2000s again, okay?
Yeah, we got to trim some fat off the guest list for sure.
And I'm sure the videographers for Vogue and certainly those Vogue editors are losing their goddamn minds. Let's give them a break. We don't need 17 videos by 8 a.m. the next morning of the Met Gala. I simply cannot watch them all.
No, we don't. Wow, I'm sorry, guys. I'm so mesmerized by photos of Rita Ora in this dress. She looks amazing.
Is she your hall pass now?
She might be. Look at that.
Yeah, she looks incredible.
It's fucking amazing. Anyway, okay. We're going to call it. Thank you guys for listening, if you're still listening. We will be back next week
with a Sex and the City rewatch episode.
Yes, we will. Also, come to our tour. Okay, bye.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.